Let's continue reading Hosea chapter 12. In this chapter, God rebukes his wayward people Israel by comparing them and contrasting them with the patriarch Jacob. And once again, there's plenty of application for today. Hosea chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Ephraim feeds on the wind and pursues the east wind. He daily increases lies and desolation. Also, they make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried to Egypt. The Lord also brings a charge against Judah and will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to his deeds, he will recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and in his strength he struggled with God. Yes, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought favor from him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke to us. That is the Lord God of hosts. The Lord is his memorable name. So you, by the help of your God, return, observe mercy and justice, and wait on your God continually. A cunning Canaanite, deceitful scales are in his hand. He loves to oppress. And Ephraim said, surely I have become rich. I have found wealth for myself in all my labors. They shall find in me no iniquity that is sin. But I am the Lord your God. Ever since the land of Egypt, I will again make you dwell in tents, as in the days of the appointed feast. I have also spoken by the prophets and have multiplied visions. I have given symbols or parables through the witness of the prophets. Though Gilead has idols, surely they are vanity. Though they sacrifice bulls in Gilgal, indeed their altar shall be heaps in the furrows of the field. Jacob fled to the country of Syria. Israel served for a spouse, and for a wife he tended sheep. By a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet he was preserved. Ephraim provoked him to anger most bitterly. Therefore his Lord will leave the guilt of his bloodshed upon him and return his reproach upon him. Once again, some background notes. In verse 1, we read, Ephraim feeds on the wind and pursues the east wind. Ephraim, remember, was another name for the northern kingdom of Israel, where Hosea's ministry was centered during the reign of King Jeroboam II in the 8th century BC. Now, what's the idea here in feeding on wind and pursuing the east wind? Let me read to you something I wrote on this some years ago. In Hosea chapter 12, verse 1, Israel is pictured as feeding on wind. What does it mean to feed on wind? Did you ever try a wind sandwich? Wind does not satisfy your hunger or nourish your body. There is no sustenance and there are no nutrients in wind. The people of Israel were feeding their souls with all the things of the good life and feeding their spirits with the words of the false prophets. Hosea's day was much like today. There was plenty of material prosperity on the outside, but the heart of the nation was morally and spiritually bankrupt. Instead of turning back to the Lord to satisfy their spiritual hunger, Israel continued to feed on wind. They stuffed themselves with the allurements and attractions of the surrounding pagan nations and filled themselves with the all too appealing words of the false prophets. But they ended up empty and starved. We also read in Hosea 12, verse 1, that Israel pursued the east wind. The east wind is the terrible and dreaded Sirocco, which blows from the desert east of Palestine. It comes with scorching and devastating heat. Instead of trying to escape or seek protection, Israel is pictured as actually chasing this destructive wind. How was Israel pursuing the east wind? The rest of verse 1 gives us an example. Israel was double dealing with the great foreign powers of that day. She made a peace treaty with Assyria, but at the same time, she exported oil to Egypt, Assyria's arch rival. How's that for foreign policy? Playing both ends against the middle for security was as foolish as chasing the Sirocco for tranquility. Instead of turning to the Lord for peace and security, Israel turned to the foreign powers, which would ultimately destroy her. It wasn't long before Assyria swept in like the east wind and thoroughly wiped out the northern kingdom of Israel. Now, God had certainly given his people plenty of warning. Look at verse 10. I have spoken by the prophets and have multiplied visions. I have given symbols or parables through the witness of the prophets. In fact, we know that God used Hosea's marriage to Gomer as a prophetic parable. As Gomer ran away from Hosea and committed adultery, so Israel turned away from God and committed spiritual adultery with the idols of the foreign religions. Here in Hosea chapter 12, God rebukes his prodigal people by comparing them and contrasting them with the patriarch Jacob. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for Hosea chapter 12. Doctrinal or teaching point number one, God's people should follow Jacob's good points. God's people should follow Jacob's good points. Verse 2, the Lord also brings a charge against Judah and will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to his deeds, he will recompense him. Once again, notice Hosea's ministry does include the southern kingdom of Judah. So the Jacob here in verse 2 includes all of Israel. They are called Jacob here, not only because all of Israel comes from Jacob, but also because in the rest of the chapter, they will be compared and contrasted to the patriarch Jacob. Remember, Jacob was not the most godly person. He had stolen the birthright and blessing from Esau. Jacob had a lot of rough edges. Jacob had to go to the school of God for many years and learn many lessons. But in spite of all the rough edges, Jacob did have an appreciation for spiritual things, and he did learn the lessons that God taught him, and he did graduate from the school of God. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21, that by faith Jacob, when he was dying, worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. But the nation of Israel never learned her lessons and did not graduate from the school of God. Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord and was broken and brought to tears. Yet he prevailed and he found favor with the Lord. Verse 4. But the nation of Israel never was broken and brought to tears. Jacob fled to Aram or Syria and learned the lessons that God had for him there. Verse 12. But the nation of Israel never learned the lessons that God had for them. Jacob walked and talked with the Lord at Bethel, verse 4, both before and after his time in Aram. But the nation of Israel never had a Bethel experience. In fact, it was at Bethel where Israel set up one of the golden calf idolatrous shrines that we've talked about already in our study of Hosea. What a contrast between Jacob and the nation of Israel. Now, certainly part of the teaching of this passage for us today is that we should follow Jacob's good points. Like Jacob, we all have rough edges and need to learn lessons in the school of God. Maybe like Jacob, we even need to learn not to manipulate others and not to cheat. Like Jacob, let's learn these lessons and come back to Bethel and worship the Lord. God's people should follow Jacob's good points. Doctrinal point number two, God's people should not follow Israel's bad points. God's people should not follow Israel's bad points. God had brought Israel out of Egypt and preserved them by his grace through the prophet Moses. Verse 13, by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet, he was preserved. Think of the ministry of Moses for the nation of Israel. But Israel did not respond with love and thanksgiving and right living. Instead, they corrupted mercy and justice. Verse 6. They became just like the cunning and cheating Canaanites that the Lord had conquered before them. Verse 7. They did not give God the credit for their material wealth. They took the credit for themselves. Verse 8. They were blind to their sin and iniquity. Verse 8. They set up idols on the east side of the Jordan in Gilead, and they set up idols on the west side of the Jordan at Gilgal. Verse 11. They provoked the Lord to anger. Verse 12. Therefore, the Lord would have to judge and punish his people. The Assyrians would destroy their cities and they would dwell in tents again, verse 9, as they did in the wilderness and as they did at the Feast of Tabernacles. But this would be no celebration. Their idolatrous altars would be heaps of stones in the fields, verse 11. Israel was guilty, and she would not escape the consequences of her sin, verse 14. Now, do you see the obvious teaching lesson for us? God's people should not follow Israel's bad points. If we do, we will reap sorrowful consequences. Let's just take one example. One of Israel's bad points, as we've seen, was that they took credit for themselves and did not give God the credit for their material wealth. Remember, during Jeroboam the second's time, during this time of Hosea's ministry, the northern kingdom of Israel is quite wealthy, but spiritually and morally, they are bankrupt. And they're taking credit for this material blessing themselves, not giving God the credit. Look again at verse 8. And Ephraim said, "Surely I have become rich. I have found wealth for myself." Do we give credit to God or take credit for ourselves? 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7 says, "And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" 1 Corinthians 4, 7. Whatever you have, looks, brains, athletic ability, creative talent, or spiritual gift was given to you, and you're taking credit for it? And you're boasting in it? Come on! Let's not make the same mistake that Israel made and forget to give credit to the Lord. God's people should not follow Israel's bad points. And finally, practical application from Hosea chapter 12. Let's not feed on wind. Let's not feed on wind. Verse 1, once again, Ephraim feeds on the wind. Let me ask you, do you feed on wind? You know, there's a lot of wind food around today, and there's a lot of people selling wind food. How many would agree? Think of the junk food that's available on TV or on the internet today. What are you munching on? Think of the enormous amount of time and energy we can waste on our houses and hobbies, even our careers. How much of this is wind when all is said and done? If you're not a believer here this morning, feeding on wind will keep you from Christ. Why is it, if you're here as a non-believer, non-Christian, why is it that you will not come to Christ? It's probably because you're feeding on wind. You're thinking it's giving you sustenance and nourishment. Ultimately, it's wind. It's nothing. Only in Christ can you find fulfillment, satisfaction. Come to Christ today. If you are a believer here this morning, feeding on wind will result in stunted growth, starvation, and emptiness. I trust all of you here this morning have an appetite for the solid food of the Word of God. Let's not feed on wind.